Gemara left off on Dalet Amud Beis, going over to Hey Amud Aleph, that one should recite Kriya Shema al Amita to have Shemira from the Mazikin. Then the Gemara said on the top line on Hey Amud Aleph, Tamil Chachma who ain't a tzorach. You don't need such Shemira from the Mazikin, and you should still say a pasuk of Tchina, V'yotcha Av Kedruchi. The Gemara on Vav Amud Aleph talks about how many Mazikim are. There are millions and millions of Mazikim. Some assume Mazikim means germs. Whatever it means, such a concept of mazikin. And one recites Kriya Shema Lamito, so this is a Shmira Min HaMazikin. Ki lo eches cheref shel shnei pios. Cheref pifios biyot. Okay. To protect the person from the mazikin. Then the Gemara has, if a person Imroy Adam Sheisurim by Molov Yefash Fej by myself. Usually Yisurim are a punishment for some avera that the person violated. So he should be Yefash Fej by myself. Shenema. Nach Besad Rechenim Arach Kerem and Ashu by Lechon. So Pishpesh has the gears on the side. Pishpesh Amotza. If he looks into his daily routine and he sees doing something wrong, he has a tshuva shenema. Nach b'sar derachenu mach kerva no shuva elech pish pish v'loy motza. If he looks in and he thinks he's not doing any averus, then he says yitla b'bitul torah. Rav Chaim Volozhiner poses a question in his sefer Nefesh HaChaim. What do you mean pish pish v'loy motza? Then yitla b'bitul torah. So why didn't he think of that in the first place? He's supposed to look through his activities to see if he's doing something wrong. So Bittul Torah is something wrong. So why wasn't he Motz in the first place? So he points out that Rashi seems to answer that question. Rashi says on the top of the second column, on the fourth line of the second column, Pishpish v'loy Motza, not that he doesn't find that he has any averus. The Motza aver b'yodashe b'shvila rui misurim halola lovoi. What does it mean? So Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner explains, if a person does an aver with his hands, he'll probably be punished with his hands. If he does an aver with his eyes, he'll probably be punished in his eyes. If he does an aver with his legs, he'll be punished in his legs. If pish pish v'lei motza, he doesn't see, he has pain in some organ or another, and he doesn't think that he did an aver with that aver of the body. What does it correspond to? What aver did he do with that part of the body? Then the Gemara says, Yitl b'vitl tere, even though there's no relationship, because b'vitl tere has an effect on all the organs of the body. That's the Gemara in the end of Erevin has. If a person is chosh b'rosho, yasik b'ter. If a person has a headache, he should learn tere. If a person has pain in his stomach, he should learn tere. If a person has pain in his legs, he should learn tere. Wherever the pain is, he should learn Torah. We assume that for bittul Torah, the punishment can affect any organ in the body. So that's what the Gemara means to say over here. Yefash vesh b'maisav, he tried to figure out what aver did he do with that aver, that he's being punished, meter can again be done that aver. And pish pish v'lamotz, he doesn't think that he did an aver with that aver, he should attribute the punishment to bittul Torah, which has an effect on all the averim in the body. Okay. Pish pish v'lamotz, yitle b'bittul Torah. Then the Gemara talks about a concept of Yisurim Shalahava. What if Pishpesh V'loi Motza at all? He doesn't do Bittul Torah. He sits and he learns all the time, and he's still, and he doesn't do Averis, and he's still suffering. So then the Gemara says there's such a concept. There's a Tzadik V'ralo. That's what all the prophets, all the Nevi'im, all the philosophers were wondering. How come you have Tzadik V'ralo, Rosh V'Tovlo? If it's the same Ribbono Shel Olam who created the world and who gave the Torah, how come there's such contradictions between the moral, or ethical, and the religious world and the Metzias? How come they have Tzaddikim who suffer and Rishayim who prosper? If there would be two different gods, one who created the world and one gave the moral, religious, an ethical system, okay, so that's a terror. It's one God created the world, but we believe there's only one God. And if you would say that God does know what's happening, okay, so then you have no kasha. If you say that God's not powerful, he created the world, he doesn't have any power to change anything, we don't accept any of those answers. We believe there's one God, and he's good, and he knows what's happening, and has full control of everything. And how does he allow all these terrible, terrible tragedies to occur? Tzadik v'ra l'roshu v'tovlo. So the Gemara discusses that problem. The Gemara is going to discuss it later in the Masechtas. The Gemara says there's a concept of Yisurim Shalava. How can you determine whether it's Yisurim Shalava or Yisurim as a punishment? So the Gemara says Kol Shem B'Bitl Torah, and the other one says Kol Shem B'Bitl Tfilah. If there's Bitl Torah, Bitl Tfilah, then it's Yisurim, then it's a punishment. But if it's no Bitl Torah, no Bitl Tfilah, then the Gemara says sometimes it'll be it's just a nuisance. So then sometimes you can attribute it to Yisurim Shalava, and it doesn't indicate that the person is a Rosha. Well, so these Yisurim Shalava, a person gets reward. He's rewarded for that. So first, the Gemara quotes one Amora, Yisurim Shalava only are of value if he accepts it B'Yahava. Where does the Gemara have it? In Kiblaim, what's the Aleph? The Bach adds on the word B'Yahava. Kiblaim B'Yahava, Maschar, Yir, Zera, Yarach, Yom, V'Loyal, Shetambudim, Iskayim, B'Yodoy. So the first opinion in the Gemara is Amar Avuna. First was Amar Rav, Amar Abschar, Amar Avuna. Kol Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chofetz Ba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lovsa, Medaka B'Yisim Shenema, Shem Chofetz Dako Hecheil Yochel Afilu Kibli B'Yahava Tam Lema, Im Tosem Oshem Namshel Like Oshem. Ma Oshem Ladas Af Yisurim Ladas. Person has to be Mekabel Yisurim Yahava. Then the Gemara quotes one of them, Aroim, who says Reish Lakish Shamar?
Is that right? Couple of hours that it's
Yisurim Shalom? No, that's not the right. If he's not in the Kabbal Miyaba, then it doesn't accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. Yisurim Shalom. And then they quote Reish Lakish, who says that it's like salt. Nema Bris B'Melech, Nema Bris B'Yisurim. Where does it say Bris B'Melech? L'Stach Bris Melech Bris Alakecha. Mi'al Min Chasech. You have to salt all the Menachas, and you have to salt all of the chalovim. Anything that you mak there on the mizbech, you have to salt. The salting by Menachas is more chomer, perhaps, than the salting of the chalov on the mizbech. The Rambam holds that loy malach, you're not yotze the mitzvah of mincha. Loy malach by evorim, you are yotze. Yotze the haktor, you're not yotze the mitzvah malicha. But loy malach by the mincha, the Rambam passes against the Mishnah Menachas says loy malach is kosher. The Rambam seems to pass loy malach is puzzle, like the other Tana. But the Gemara says just like it says melach by korbanis, and it says melach ele divrei bris. It says the word bris by yisurim by the teichecha and kisov, and it says the word bris by melach. So my bris on the melach, melach mimateka says habasar. Has a good effect on the meat. It preserves it, gives it flavor. Abris, Amabisurim, Yisurim, Makam, Amanosim, Shalom. Yisurim have a good effect on the person's soul. So some Achrayim understand that Reish Lakish is in disagreement with the previous Amora, that if you saw, even if the salt falls on the meat by accident, you don't have to do it Davka Midas, not like Osham. On Osham, you have to be makriv midas, you have to be magdishit midas, you have to be makrivit midas. But the salting on the meat, even if it happens accidentally, is also good. So some want to learn that it's a machlokes amarim. With Yisurim Shalavo, and the person didn't accept it miyavo, does it have the same positive effect on the soul? Okay, we should avoid the amarim, said they weren't so keen. Lo heim lo ischorim. They weren't interested in the Yisurim Shalav, and they weren't interested in getting any reward.
How can the Gemara be anyway that it's taking letters to what Yisurim Shalav are, or what they, or what causes them? Right? We say it's a pasuk that there's no such thing as a tzaddik, but all right, that doesn't sin at all. So there are all these Amorayim who are Bashrish Masa, they're not even a little bit of Bittul Torah. Like we told about Yisurin Shalava, and these Yisurin Shalava don't cause any Bittul Tefillah or Bittul Torah, but they're so bad that they don't want them.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the...
I don't know. All the questions are good. I don't know. The Gemara says, Lahem v'lai schor. I don't know. It's a shver piece of Gemara, yeah. Then what does the Gemara say? That sometimes Shalosh Matanis Tovus Nasan Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisal Kulam Al Nitna Lahem Ela Agdei Yisurim. Torah, yeah. In order to be Matzlich and learning, you have to have Yisurim. It doesn't mean Yisurim. It means you have to restrain yourself a little bit. It shouldn't come so easy. Eretz Yisrael is not going to be so easy to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Hashem Malkech Mivach Al Eretz Teva. But that's going to be with Yisur. There was a Sheva Shekopshev. There were wars for 7 years. And Olam Abba also, you have Melchem Sayyetza during one's lifetime. So it doesn't really mean Yisurim, suffering. It means with straining oneself. Okay. So then the Gemara is talking about the Kaporis. Okay. Anosham is Machaper. Malkus is Machaper. All kinds of things are Machaper. Misa is Machaper. So Tani Tanak HaMeid Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Anosi. He was the first generation of Amoraim. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. So what do you mean Tani Tanak HaMeid Rabbi Yochanan? A person who used to recite Mishnayos or Brises. One would recite Brises. All the Amoraim knew all the Mishnayos. They didn't know all the Brises. So when an Amora would recite, when that's what he did for a living, he would always recite Brises. He called him Atana. Tani Tanak HaMeid Rabbi Yochanan. One of the Talmidim who always used to recite Brises, recited the following Brisa in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan. This will bring kapor. Liman hator and the Midas Chasadim bring kapor. So Rabbi Yochanan reacts to the Brisa that the Talmud is reciting. So he says, "Amla Rabbi Yochanan, bishleima the first two parts of what you said that I know. Torah Midas Chasadim brings kapor. That's a pasuk. Where's the pasuk? Mishlei beemes." Chesed ve'emes yuchupa ovan. Chesed means midos chasadim and emes kinei. Val timkar goes on liman haTorah. Even if you have to pay to attend the yeshiva is supposed to be free of charge. Ma'at mechinam afat mechinam. But the Gemara learns that from the pasuk. Emes kinei. Even if they charge you money to come to learn Torah, you should still pay. And then when you teach the Torah to the next generation, even though you had to pay tuition, you should teach it for nothing. Al tinkor, emes kenei, al tinkor. Okay. So the first two parts of what the Brisa said, that Torah Gemilas Chasodim brings Mechilas Ha'ovain, that's a pasuk. The Chesed emes, Yechupa Rovain. Chesed is Gemilas Chesed. And emes kenei, goes on the Menator. The Kerb is Bano Mina. Is there a pasuk for that? Just like there's a pasuk for Chesed ve'emes. So he says, Tana le'ahusav, Mishim Rishim Ba'ichai, yeah, there's a Gzeira Shavu. What do you mean? Mishum Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. He heard it to the name. He didn't. The Sava tells him over the name of Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. That what? You have a Gzera Shava, oven. Sifach Mechas Meyam Shilchupa, oven. And there it says, Mishalam Avoy Navois Al Cheik Bineim. So it goes on, the children die. So the fact, Koivra is one of the children die during the lifetime of their parents, that's quite an aggravation. So that brings Mechilas Avoy. Okay, the Gemara has in the end of Yuma. Abo Chiluki Kapor. If a person violated a mitzvah, says in his chayz b'tshuva, say in his os misham ashmochon lo. If he violates a loisasei, so tshuva toyla v'yom kippur mechaper. He has to do tshuva, and then when it comes yom kippur, then it's mechaper. If he violated krisis amisus bezdin, so then even tshuva with yom kippurim is only toyla. And you need Yisurim to be Goyme. When the person will suffer Yisurim, that will be Goyme the Kapar. If you made a Chil Hashem by doing the Avera, then the Tshuva with the Yom Kippur, with the Yisurim, everything is only Toila, temporarily. And he only gets a Mechila Savan, he only gets a Kapar when he dies. So the Gemara knows that over here, that when a person suffers Yisurim, that's usually, that's not Yisurim Shalava, that's Yisurim that Min HaShemayim, for the person to suffer to get a mechila sa'ovan. Yeah. So he says. So the Gemara says you learn from a pasuk this idea that when the children die during the lifetime of their parents, that's such an aggravation that brings about mechila sa'ovan, mechilas kapora sa'ovan. It's okay. Then Rabbi Yochanan makes a statement: the goyim abanim meini misurim shalahavo. These are such serious forms of suffering. One who doesn't have any children. So people are very aggravated at that. If a couple is married a long time, they don't have children, they're very aggravated. Or if a person has a negat saras. So this causes aggravation. So that's Yisurim. It's such aggravation. That's not Yisurim Shalava. That's Yisurim to punish the person for the averis that he did. So the Gemara says, Negoim lo, you say that it's not Yisurim Shalava. I will be have a brisa. Kol sheyesh ech me'arba maris negoim alolo. Ein elam izbeach kapor. You get a forgiveness for the averis. Your averis are forgiven. Isn't that because Yisurim Shalava? So the Gemara says, no. Mizbeach kapora havi yisurim shalava lo havu. It's a kapora. That's the Gemara, the end of Yom. Abo chiduki kapora. If the person does an avera, over al lo sese sheesh bo krisis and mises bezden. So that's an avera chamura. So the tshuva with the Yom Kippur are only toile, temporarily, but you need yisurim to be goyma the kapora. So that not having any children and suffering from negat saras, the certain it is mechaper, that for sure, but it's not called yisurim shalava. It's such suffering. It must be that he must have done an aver. We should assume he did an aver. Sure.
I thought it's a plus the child dies. I thought he's talking about the child dies. Person not having children.
The Gemara is going to make a distinction. It depends whether he never had children or he had children and he died. So the Gemara says, "Ubanim loy," that not having any children. The next line, the Gemara, "Ubanim loy," not having children is Israel. Children is not called Yisurim Shalama. What's the case? If he had children, the children died during his lifetime. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan lost 10 sons. His 10 sons died. Rabbi Yochanan, when he used to go be Menachem Avol, like people, he would pull out a bone, and he would show them that this bone is from the 10th son of his that died. So what is he bragging about? If having children and having them die is a punishment for your averis, he's bringing, look how many averis I did. I lost 10 sons. It's strange. So it must be that if you have children, they die. That's possible that that's Yisurim Shalav. Ela the pshat is the lahavalei klal. That's Ela ho de lahavalei klal, ho de lahavalei mesa. If you have children, they die. So that's not that could be Yisurim Shalav. But if you never had children at all, so that must be a punishment for averis. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. What's Rabbi Yochanan bringing that he did so many averis that he lost 10 sons? If the whole story is strange. What do you mean? He's walking around with a bone from his son who died. The bones are metame. If you have etzim kisaris, metame bimaga. So Rashi writes over here. He's walking around a bone from his son. Etzim pachas mikisar. Rashi comes to answer the kasha. He's carrying pachas mikisara, so it's not mitame him. Also strange.
He should have buried
the mace. Yeah, what, he's walking around with a bone from his son. So on the side, they have a suggestion from the Oruch. They have two suggestions. One suggestion from the Oruch is that it was a tooth. So the din is that a tooth, kozman, it's attached to the dead body, is if a let's say there's a dead body. See, if there's a dead body in the room, so everybody's tummy to mas ohel. Let's say there's a dead body al pnei asada. So there is no ohel. There's no ohel on top. If you put your hand on top, that's also ohel. There are three kinds of ohel. If I'm mahel on the mace, I put my hand on the mace. Or if I'm sitting outside and they carry a mace over my body, that's the mace is mahel on me. Or both of us, me and the mace, are both under one roof, and the oil is maybe, that's called oil hamshocha. The oil is mamshech es atuma to me. So let's say I'm outside and I'm not mahel on the mace, but I touch the tooth of the mace when it's still attached. It has buck teeth and I can succeed in touching the tooth without touching the body, without being mahel on the body. So that's Mishnah. That calls man the tooth is still attached to the body. It's maybe a satumba, but once the tooth is detached from the body, so there's no mitzvah, kvura, anything is not metame. So that's the suggestion that the Oruch has. That maybe the garma, the bone, doesn't mean a bone. Maybe means a tooth. Doesn't really fit in. Then he has another pshat, the Yesh Mefarshim on the side. I don't know. I didn't look it up in the Oruch. I'm not sure if the Yesh Mefarshim is part of the Oruch or it's stam a different pshat. The Maritz Chais has that second pshat, the Yesh Mefarshim. That maybe it means like this. When they used to give a Sudas Havra, So it means that what do you serve at the Suda's Avra? That's the first Suda after they come back from the Kvura. So the Ovel is also Lechel Mishalo. He's not allowed to eat his own food. He has to demonstrate as if he's helpless, as if the death of this person shakes him up so much that he can't even prepare his own meal, can't even take care of his own needs, his basic needs. So someone else is supposed to give him the first meal. So what should that meal consist of? So some people give... my cousin used to be a rabbi in Brooklyn. So he said, someone called him up on Chalamay Pesach. So they said, they have a Sudas Avroah on Chalamay. So he said, yeah. So Beferish and Mishnah, they have a Sudas Avroah on Chalamay. Then they said, what are you supposed to give? So he said, many because you give bagels, because it's round, and hard-boiled eggs. So he forgot his Pesach. So he hung up the phone and he didn't know who called him. He didn't know how to call him back. Now you can trace all the calls. He didn't know whom to call back to tell him you don't eat bagels on Pesach. So the meaning is that you give something that's round, because avelos like a galgal achayz boilum. That's the Lashon Gemara. So you give bagels the rest of the year, and you give a hard-boiled egg, yeah. But that's not the main part of the meal. So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin and Afayim where the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei, but nivra yayin alanachem boyas ha'avelim. That the oval is a little bit aggravated, one of the close relatives died, so you should give him a drink of wine. He should drink the wine and relax a little bit, ease the tension. So that's one gemara that you should give wine, and that some of the poskim quote that la'alocha. Then the Hagos Mamini on the bottom of the page, and the Rambam writes that more correct is that they should give basaviyai. There should be a kovedik meal, not melchiks. They should give fleshiks. Should be the kovedik meal that they give the oval. Should be basaviyai. So that's what some say over here. Dein garba basira, not that he had a bone from his son's dead body. He saved the bone from the Sudas Avra that they gave him basaviyai, and the way it says in the Hagos Maimini, and he saved the bone from the Sudas Avra, from the 10th son, to show the people, I lost 10 sons. Here's a bone from the last Sudas Avra, and they should have an achama. They should be menach. But if you say it's a bone from the child, then Rashi says less than a kasar is very strange. What's he saving a bone for? Yeah. So what does the Gemara say? So if they never had children at all, then it's a very big aggravation. So then that can't be Yisurim Shalava. But if they had children and they died, that's less of an aggravation. I don't know. Rahmana Litzlan, I don't know. The Gemara thinks that that's less of an aggravation, so that could be Yisurim Shalava. Very strange Gemara. So the Gemara, that's about the children. But the difference between not having any children at all and having children, they die while the parents are still alive. What about the Maris Negoim? Rabbi Yochanan said that both of them. Rabbi Yochanan said, Negoim Avonim, neither is Yisurim Shalav. What is, so the Gemara had a contradiction. What do you mean, Negoim is not Yisurim Shalav, but it brings Kapara? The Gemara says, yeah, of course it brings Kapara. That's one of the Abom Chuzir Kapara. Is if you have Yisurim, Avar Al Krisis Mises Bezen, Shuvah v'yam kippur toilim v'yisurim amechaprim are memarkim, complete the kapur. So of course it's going to be a mizbeach kapur, but it's such an aggravation that's not going to be yisurim shalavo. So then the Gemara gives other suggestions. First of them is mizbeach kapur havi yisurim shalavo lahavi boisem. Another suggestion is halon v'halahu. It depends whether you live in Eretz Yisrael or you don't live in Eretz Yisrael. Yechana lived in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Shmuel lived in Babel. Fine. So if Rabbi Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael, so then Rashi says that what? If a person, Eretz Yisrael, Shari Chayma, Nukudoshes, Bo means in Eretz Yisrael, Ayoras Amakafis Chayma have a higher level of Kedusha, Mitzorah Tom Shilua Chutz Alohem. A Mitzorah is not allowed to enter any of the Ayoras Amakafis Chayma, Yisushua Benun. So then it's not called Yisurim Shalav because it's such a nuisance. You have to be careful. You can't go to this city, you can't go to that city. But if you live in Babel, there's no Kedusha. Ain't Tunim Shiluach, Veheim. So then it's a Mizbeach Kapora. Then maybe it's Yisurim Shalav. It's just a nuisance. But it's not that much of a nuisance. And Eretz Yisrael, it's a terrible nuisance because you Mishtalei Achutz. Tosis has the taina against Rashi. The top Tosis Pirush Rashi the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. How can it be? Shiloch machnas lahay noig al mizman shayevon noig. That's a Gemara. That's a beferish Gemara. Where's that Gemara? In the end of Perek Hazav, I think. In Bab Metzia, in the end of Perek Hazav, it's in Erchen also. So mizman she in the days of Rabbi Yechonon was the yevon noig. Mizman she ain a yevon noig. All these dinim, but Ivri is not noig. But the Arichayma is not noig. But the Arichayma, what's the din of but the Arichayma? If you sell a house in an Irhama, Kevis Chaymas, Yishor Benun, you only have the right to force the Lekech to sell you back the house within a year. And if you don't buy the house back within a year, so then the buyer says Nechlat to the Lekech and he keeps it. You don't get it back. You can't, it means you can't, if he wants to, he can sell it back to you. But you can't force the Lekech to sell it back to you. So the Gemara said the favorish that that din about the Arichayma only applies bisman shal yagol noig. So Tosis in asking the kasha against Rashi assumes why is about the Arichayma all noig bisman shal yagol noig? Because the whole institution of ayaris hamakavus chayma that it has a special status only exists only applies bisman shal yagol noig. Some Rishonim come to defend Rashi. The Rashbo quotes as some Rishonim defend Rashi. They say that's about but the Arichayma. If you sell a bais by ayaris hamakavus chayma. So that din, that you can only force him to sell it back within the first year, that din only applies to B'dan Shal Yavol Noig. But the Kedusha Zayoras HaMakos Chayma, that a Mitzor is Mishtaleach, that din applies to even Mizman HaZeh. That's a big Kiddush. Tosis assumes that Ayoras HaMakos Chayma, the whole Kedusha Zayir doesn't apply. B'meha HaMeroim, Lahoy HaYavol Noig, Ken Yamin HaMigit Naf Lamed Vav. Why was the Yavol not Noig in the days of the Amaroim? Why is that? That's a Gemara in the end of Erechin, around Daf Chav Tesa. So the Gemara says that the Pasuk that's on the Liberty Bell, how does it, Dasra proclaimed liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. Across Madro Baritz Lachol Yoshva, I used to live in Philadelphia. We used to walk over, I lived near the center of town. So we used to walk over sometimes on Shabbos and for fun, we used to walk to Liberty Hall and see the cracked Liberty Bell. So that's the Pasuk on the Liberty Bell. Liberty Bell was commissioned to be made by the Jewish community of Pennsylvania to represent the freedom of religion that they have in it. And then it was adopted by all the 13 colonies to represent the freedom that you have. It's a free country in America. So what does it say in that Pasuk? The Pasuk goes on Shnas HaYovel. Thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land. Means in Ebedibri is Yotze Lecheris when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. Cross from Dror Ba'aretz. L'chol yoshveho. So the Gemara on the same is man shekol yoshveho aleho. That the dinam of Yovel only plan is man shekol yoshveho aleho. When all the Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael. Usually say Ruba Kukulov. The Reuva, the Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael. It's also called kol yoshveho aleho. So if you don't have kol yoshveho aleho, then you don't observe Yovel. The Gemara says towards the end of the Bais Rishon period. Even before the Churban Bais Rishon. When some of the Shvatim already went into Golus, so the Yovel no longer was observed, because he didn't have Kol Yoshveho Aleho. That's the question. During Bayis Sheni, Tosef B'meha Amarayim Lohay HaYovel Noig. After the Churban HaBayis, for sure, it wasn't Noig. What about Bizman Bayis Sheni? Was Yovel Noig or not? So the Mishnayis say that Yovel was Noig. So Tosef there in Gitna has a discussion. Was Yovel Noig Ben HaTorah, or was it only Midirabbanan? You clearly, Beferish, did not have anywhere near 50% of the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. Millions and millions of Jews lived in Babylon and they didn't go back. When Ezra Nehemiah tried to bring everybody back, they didn't go back. 43,000 Jews came back. There was peanuts. Everybody stayed behind in Babylon. So Tesis said, Kotzer Abin Atam has a Chiddush. That the Yoivu was Noig Men HaTorah Bizman Bayis Sheni because every Shevet was represented. They quote the Pesukim of Tanakh, say how many Jews there were from every Shevet. But the whole Sach HaKol, the sum total of all the Jews over there, that was way less than 50% of the world Jewish population. So that's a machlokes. Rabbi Natan holds that Bizman, the Mishnai say that Yovel was Noig. The Mishnai say, because the Mishnai say Hillel, when did Hillel was the chief rabbi. The Gemara says 100 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, Hillel and Shammai were the chief rabbi and the assistant chief rabbi, respectively. So it says that Hillel made a takana regarding Bati Arichayma, that people usually wait till the last minute to study for an exam or to apply for something. But whenever you're supposed to hand in a paper, so you always wait till the last minute. So the Mishnah talks about the practice that they had. If you sold the bais be Arichayma, so you can only be paid back the house, be grilled back the house from the lekeach. Bal Korcha Shalal Lakeach, up until the end of the first year. So everybody would wait till the last day, and then they would go to the Lakeach and bring him the money. So the Lakeach used to hide. They all knew the guy's probably going to come the last minute and he's going to want to buy back the house. So the practice used to be that the Lakeach would hide the last day so that the Moicha wouldn't be able to catch him and give him the money Bal Korcha. So Hillel made a takana that if you leave the money in Bezdin's office, you put money in an envelope, and you write down the address, and this is, I want to buy back the house, and I can't find the Lakech. He's hiding. So Hillel made a takana that you give the money to the Bezdin, Bezdin will hold the money on behalf of the Lakech, and you get your house back. So what do you have to make a takana? If Bat Yerachayimah didn't apply, if the whole din of Bat Yerachayimah didn't apply. So obviously it did apply during Bar Sheni. It could be that it was only Midi Rabbah, could be the whole institution of Yovel and Memeila, Bat Yerachayimah, maybe it was only Midi Rabbah. So that was Machlag Zerab Ben Atam and the other Rishayim. So Ben Atam there on the Sugya of Pruzbul, and there in Gittin of Lamed Vav. So the Rabbi Natam is of the opinion that that Bizman Bayesheni said every shevet was represented. Today we don't know who belongs to what shevet. Bnei Kohanim Levim, they're from Shevet Levi. Okay. And those who are descendants from the Rabbi Pirsh Melech Dinava, the Bnei Yisachar, so his Rebbe told him he's from Shevet Yisachar. Okay, he knows. Good. And the Chalaps claim to be descendants from Malchus Beis David. So they're from Shevet Yehuda. And that leaves everybody, so who's everybody else? Reuben, Shimon, Levi, God, you don't know. Rabbi Chalapi knows from Shevet Yehuda. No, it doesn't help too much. You don't have representatives from all the Shvatim today. So l'chol ha'deis, today, Yovel is not knowing. The Shaila is when we're almost up to getting 51% of the world Jewish population to move to Eretz Yisrael. So then when they will, the newspapers keep on writing about that for the last 15 years. When the scale will tip and we'll have more than 50% of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael, so then we'll have Koyash Ve'Haleo, then you'll be obligated to observe Yovel, and then Shemitah will be Deraisa. The Tanoim had a Machloikas. The Gemara alludes to the Machloikas in the beginning of Moed Katan on Dav Gimel, and in Gittin Daf Lamed Vav, the Gemara alludes to Machlokes Rebbe and Achacham. The Gemara never quotes it. Rashi in his commentary on the Gemara quotes it. It's the Sifra Taras Kahanim at the beginning of Parshas Bahar. It says every seventh year you observe Shemitah, and after seven Shemitahs you have the 50th year is going to be Yovel. So there are two different Parshios. It's the Sedris Parshas Bahar, but you have a new paragraph. First you have the din of Shemitah. Then it's either a psilch or a stuma, and then you have the parsha about Yovel. So the question is, with respect to Yovel, we have this condition, you have to have kol yoshvecho aleho. Does that condition apply with respect to Shemitah as well? Do you say that since the seven Shemitahs that you'll observe will not be able to lead up to Yovel because you're lacking kol yoshvecho aleho, so therefore the Shemitah observance is only with the Rabbana, and therefore there's possibly room for leniencies. Therefore, there's room to say that if you sell it to a goy, the whole het mechir is based on the assumption that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is only the Rabbanan. Even if it is the Rabbanan, the pashtus is that the het mechir doesn't help. But the whole thing is based on the Gemara in Gittin, at the end of Perek, not that Perek, the end of Perek HaShaleach, the end of that Perek. Said not on Daf Lamed Vav, it's later in the Perek. Where the Gemara says that if Surya only had a kiss, the kibush David HaMelech was kovish Aram Tzoba. He was kovish Surya. That's in Tanakh. And that was considered a kibush yochid. So the Gemara says, we assume kibush yochid lav shmei kibush, so Surya never got a kedusha deraisa. So the whole kedusha of Saritz in Surya was never deraisa, it was only the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, since the whole kedusha in Surya is only the Rabbanan, so if you sell a farm to a guy, so none of the mitzvahs of Kli Yisba'aretz apply. So it's based on that Gemara that the Sfaradish Gedolim who lived in the 1600s came up with this whole whopper of a kula that even in Eretz Yisrael proper, in Eretz Yisrael Gufa, since Bizman Hazeh, the whole observance of Shemitah is only the Rabbanan, because we paskin like Rebbe, that Shemitah is only the Raisa if it looks like it's going to lead up to Yovel. Every 7th year is going to be a Shemitah, and after 49 years, after 7 Shemitahs, then the 50th year is going to be a Yovel. But if you know in advance that Yovel won't be obligatory because you don't have Kol Yoshvel now, then even the observance of Shemitah is on a Rabban. That's the opinion of Rebbe. The Chachamim disagree. In the Torah's Kana, in the beginning of Bahar, they hold no. You have to observe Shemitah every seventh year, even if it cannot lead up, even if you know in advance, can't lead up to Yod. The Gemara seems to say that we paskan like Rebbe. That's what the Pashup Pshat and the Ramam is, that Shemitah Bezman Hazeh is only the Rabbanon, because we know that it cannot lead up to Yod. So that's the Shaila that they write up in the newspapers. Very soon, another year or two, the 51% of the world Jewish population will be living in Eretz Yisrael. So then, perhaps Shemitah, then we'll have to observe Yovel, and then Shemitah will become their eyes, and then the Rabbanut won't be able to have any het mechir. This is a question whether this is correct or not, because the Gemara said Beferish and Erchin, and that Daf, and Kol Yisrael Daf Chav Tes and Bei. So the Gemara says, Yochol, one might mistakenly think that if 51% of the Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, but you don't have Shevet Reuven living separately in their section, Shevet Shimon living separately, and Shevet Yehuda, Shevet Yisach, every Shevet living separately, Yochol, that's called Kol Yisrael, Tamalayma. No, it's not. You have to know who belongs to what Shevet, and the Chalokim of Eretz Yisrael should be divided, and every Shevet should be living separately. Even if we're going to have Rova the Jews, Rova the world Jewish population living on Eretz Yisrael, nobody knows what Shevet they belong to. So based on this simple reading of the Gemara, it's still going to be a lack of Kol Yisrael now. Yeah, anyway, that was in the 1600s, the Sfaradish Gedolim, there were only Sfaradish, there were Ashkenazim then, so the Sfaradish Gedolim and Etzai came up with this whopper of a kula, that just like in Surya, because the Gemara says at the very end of Perek HaShalech, the last daf in Perek HaShalech and Gittin, that because Surya only had a Kibush Yochid, so it only had Kedush HaSaretz Midirabonon, so therefore Yeshkach Yesh kinyan anochim hafkiyah miyad all the mitzvahs hatliyas ba'aretz. The Gemara says if you sell the field in Syria to a non-Jew, so it doesn't have any of the mitzvahs hatliyas ba'aretz, doesn't have Shemitah either. So too, if you sell Eretz Yisrael Eretz Yisrael proper, if you sell it to, even though the Kedusha is a Kedusha deraisa, it's not an issue of kibush yochid. But since the mitzvah of Shemitah is only midirabbanan, so you would say yesh kinyan lahafkiyah. Yesh kinyan miyad anochim hafkiyah. It's a very difficult... Very difficult kula. It doesn't make any sense at all. Surya is a different story. So the whole Kedusha is only Midirabbanan. So why did they make it Midirabbanan? Why did it have Kedusha? Because it's owned by Jewish people. So therefore they said that it has a Kedusha, make-believe Kedusha Midirabbanan. There was a Kibush, but it was only a Kibush Yochid. But once you sell it to a non-Jew, so it didn't have Kedusha in the first place, and it's not owned by a Jew, so why should it have a din of Eretz Yisrael? But Eretz Yisrael proper is Eretz Yisrael, so what does it help you sell it to a goy? It still is Eretz Yisrael. It's a very difficult tzushta. Very difficult. The overwhelming majority of the Gedolim were opposed to the Het Mechira. Very difficult. They rely on the Het Mechira because it's such a big shas hadchak. It's very schwer. Anyway, so the Pashto says that we're nowhere near. We don't know who belongs to what Shevet, so we're nowhere near having, even if you'll have, if you'll ascertain that 51% of the world Jewish population lives in Eretz Yisrael, which is soon going to happen, the Pashto says, you know, we're near Kol Yisrael Olah, because nobody knows what Shevet they belong to. So getting back again.
Why can we assume that there are no other Shvatim? That they came back during Yirmiyahu brought them back, and Yirmiyahu was Malachalayim, and they were subsumed into Yehuda and Binyamin. And Binyamin was all already tiny, so now we just have Yehuda. Everyone's stuck with the part of Shevet Yehuda.
So you don't have Kol Yisrael now. You have to have, the Rabbi and Tom said, you have to, if you have representatives of every Shevet, it's good enough, even though you don't have 51%. But the Gemara said, even if you have 51%, the Gemara said, you have to know who belongs to what Shevet.
So you hold up the Gemara and Erechin, and the Seres Shvatim came back and aren't going to return again. So we won't have Kol Yisrael and Mus Mashiach.
I don't know.
That's it for Shvatim
Yoga. I don't know. Good question. I don't know. There were some members of each Shevet who did remain. I don't know. It's a deep, dark mystery. We don't know. So Tosis wants to be mild about this. The din of Yovel didn't apply. Most of the Rishonim hold Bizman by Sheni against Rabbi Natan. Most of Bizman by Sheni, the din of Yovel didn't apply in our Torah. The Mishnah says that the din of Bati Arechaim applied Bizman Hilo. Hilo was 100 years. That's the Gemara in the first parak in Masechah Shabbos. Hillel and Shammai were functioning as chief rabbi and assistant chief rabbi 100 years before the Churban HaBayis. So during the lifetime of Hillel, the dinim of Bati Arachama were noig. That's the machlokes Rabin and Tam and the other Balei HaTosis, whether it was noig ben HaTorah or noig ben Rabban. So that's what Tosis assumes, that none of the dinim of Arachama, not only Bati Arachama, but Gula's Batim, even the din of that Mitzoriz Mishtaleh, Chutzla, Yoros HaMakaf Eschema, most of the Rishonim assume that that din didn't apply either, Bizman She'ena Yevel Noig. So that's what they tie in against Rashi. In the days of Rabbi Yechanan, there was no dinam shibuch tmei. So the tzlach over here, the Nadiv Yehuda, gives a suggestion. Maybe that prevented the Mitzora, true Ayoros HaMakav Eschema, don't have their special status, but still Yerushalayim has the status of Yerushalayim. So the Mitzora cannot enter Yerushalayim. Okay. So maybe that's holon v'holohu. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, so you're limited where you can go. The Mitzora is limited, so then you can't consider it Yisurim Shalava. That must be, we assume it's Yisurim because of Averis that they did. But if you live in Bali, you have no restrictions at all. Yeah. And then Tosis didn't answer that Yerushalayim is different. Could have said Yerushalayim is different. So Tosis says, V'yesh Mepharsh, Mahalam, Mahalahu, Linyan Tumish, and Esar Be'et Sovel, Abed Bovel. And Eretz Yisrael, even after the Churban Abayis, during the days of the Amoraim, the Gemara says that Chavraya Medakan B'Galilo, that in the Galil, in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, they still had Efer Paraduma, and they would mix Paraduma water, and they would do Hazosh Lishi Yishvi, and then the person would go to mikveh after Hazosh Lishi Yishvi. They would become Tohar, they would be allowed, they would have Harav Shemesh, fine. And then they would be allowed to eat truma. They were still eating truma b'tahara in the days of Damaram. Today, nobody has any paraduma water. So whoever ever went to a funeral, Gadim also go to a funeral once in a while. When it's a close relative, they go to the, when it's one of the Zayin Krovim, Lo Yitama, they go to the funeral. So everybody came out, everybody's tummy today. But in the days of Damaram in Eretz Yisrael, they were still nizer in the laws of Tumah v'tahara. So it's such a big nuisance if a person becomes a Mitzara. Such a nuisance that everybody's going to know he's restricted from acting like a normal kohen. So in Eretz Yisrael, halahu. So then it's not Yisurim Shalav, because that's very painful. But in Bavel, not such a big nuisance. Everybody's telling me, anyway, it doesn't affect my life. It doesn't prevent me from doing anything normal. That's the holon v'holahu. Okay. The by same thing Mark gives another suggestion, Habitzin or Habifrahes, it depends where is the Negat Saras. Is it under his shirt? So nobody's gonna see it. So then it's his private affair. So that's Yisurim Shalava maybe. But if it's Bifrahesya, if it's on his face or the Negat Saras on his hands, everybody's gonna see. So then it's gonna be very embarrassing. So that must be, that cannot be Yisurim Shalava. That's very embarrassing. Habitzin or Habifrahesya, shine. We don't know with this story Yisurim Shalava. We don't understand Tzadik V'Rava. We don't understand Yisurim Shalava either. Okay, so then the Gemara tells a story. Rabchia Barabba Cholash means he got deathly sick. Alagabe Rabbi Yechanan came to visit him. Amalei Chavim Alach Yisur. You enjoy having Yisur. Want to have Yisurim Shalava? Amalei Lohein Loscham. Not interested in the whole thing. Amalei Havli Yodach. Give me a hand. He accomplished Chiyas HaMesim. He was mamsh holding by dying. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was half dead, and Rabbi Yechanan shook his hand. Yav liyadei, and he gave him a Chiyas HaMesim. Rabbi Yechanan once upon a time, Rabbi Yechanan took sick. He was deathly sick. All gabei Rabbi Chanina malchadim alach yisurim amalei loy heim loy schan. I don't want the whole thing. Amalei hav liyadei, yav liyadei. Ukmei freig di gemara. Why did Rabbi Yechanan need Rabbi Chanina to give him a Tchias HaMesim? He knew how to give Tchias HaMesim to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Why didn't he do the trick on himself? Why wasn't he able to shake his own hand? If you got to shake hands, so shake your own hand, give yourself a Tchias HaMesim. Why didn't he give himself a Tchias HaMesim? Everything more, it doesn't work. If you yourself are the chayla and you have fun, you have the power of tchias hamesim. You have the power for others. You can't help yourself. A guy's locked in prison. He can't break out of the prison. Ein chavish mataratz beis asur. Some have a minig on erev Rosh Hashanah when you do a hataras nedarim. So they want to be the last one to have the Hataras Nedarim. So they want to have the three members of the Beis Din got to be Matir. For them, were people whose Nedarim have already been canceled. Because if they themselves are still bound with Nedarim, so then the argument is, the idea is, Ein Chavish Matirat Beis Hashem, how can he get me out of my Nedarim? He himself is bound with Nedarim. He himself is imprisoned with his Nedarim. So if I'll be the last one, that's what different tzaddikim in Europe or Makbet, they wanted to be the last ones to be Matir Neder. So that their bezin would be people who already had a Hataras Nedarim, based on this idea. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Elazar was a Talmud, that's how they correct it on the side. Rabbi Elazar was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan, so Chola, she took deathly sick, all the Gabi Rabbi Yechanan, Chazer, they have a Kagoni by himself. He sees the house is very dark. So what did he do? Galya Ledarib went off on the herb. So he rolled up his sleeves and he exposed his arms and his body was very shiny. The Gemara, Rashi quotes the Gemara Bava Metzia that he was very good looking. He was very handsome. So somehow his body shone and the house became lit up. Chazi Davakabachi Rab Lazar, so Rabbi Yechanan sees Rab Lazar is crying. He's about to die. So he said, what are you crying about? You didn't learn as much as you wanted to learn. You didn't learn as much as you wanted to learn. Shanina, we have a Mishnah that says, so you learned to the best of your ability. There's nothing to cry about. You won't be punished in another mappah. If you feel bad that you never really made a decent parnasa, you were zechet to hatzlach and learning, so very few people will be, there aren't so many people zechet to wealth and lima and hatzlach and learning. So don't feel so bad, it doesn't reflect poorly on you that you didn't make such a big living. A lot of Talmid Chacham don't make such a good living. Vim shem bonei, you feel bad that what his children died while he was during his lifetime, I guess. So he says, Rabbi Yechanan tells him, "Den garmed asir rabbi. This is the bone that I have left over from the Sudas Avroya, the beer, or this is the bone from the tenth son, Bachas Mikadasha, whatever, okay. Bachas Mikasir." So the Gemara says, no, what is he, so what are you crying about? Amalei, he's crying, he's very handsome. Lahai Shufa de Bolbiar, I'm very good looking, and now they're going to bury me. He's crying about that. So he says, oh, that's a tragedy. And he also started to cry. I don't understand. There's more to cry about the fact that he was so handsome that he's going to die. I don't know. It's a very strange Gemara. So they're both crying. Rabbi Yechanan, the Rebbe, with the Talmud, Rabbi Loz, both crying. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yechanan asks him, Chaviv Malach Yisurim, do you enjoy, do you appreciate this? You want to have Yisurim Shalaba? You're a big tzad. You want this? Not interested in the whole thing. Yaiv Layodei, for Ukmei, say he made a Tchias HaMeisim on this Talmud also. The ones that are talking about the Yisurim Shalava, Yisurim Not Shalava, so they tell the story. Ravuna had a lot of barrels of wine. David's in the wine business, sounds like. Takifulei Arba Mea Dani Dechamra. 400 barrels of wine became sour, turned into vinegar. So another Amora came to visit him. By the time the Gemara was written down, they already forgot who the Amora was that came to visit. The Gemara was written down centuries later. Olegabe Rab Yuda Achud the Rab Salah Hasid of Rabbanon and the Talmidim the Amrila. Another version has it. It wasn't Rab Huna, Rab Yuda, this brother of Rab Salah Hasid, but rather Rab Arab Rabba and Rabbanon and the Talmidim. They all came to visit. Ramulei, so they gave him Tochacha. 400 barrels of wine, he lost a lot of money. He's in the wine business. So 400 barrels of wine became sour, turned into vinegar. So they tell him, La'ayim ar-bimile. You should really think over your daily routine. Maybe you're doing something wrong. Omaluhu. So Rav Huna tells the people who came to visit him, why do you think that I'm a balavera? Omaluhu. What do you think? The Rabban Shalom is going to do something. He's going to cause you to to be aggravated for no good reason. So they said, so he said to them, okay, Adarab, Amalhu, he commanded Shmila Alai Milsa Lema. Whoever heard something, whoever knows that I'm doing something wrong, please let me know. So that's what Tosfos says. The gist of the story sounds like they wanted to give a Musa about something that they knew he was doing that was improper. And this is the way they opened up the Musa conversation, that you're suffering a big hefsed moment in your business, 400 barrels of wine became sour, turned into vinegar because you're doing something improper. So he said, what am I doing improper? You want to give me Musa, what did I do that's wrong? So they tell him, Amalei hachish mi alon, the rumor has it, when you have an oris, they would divide the Rav Huna owned the farm, and the oris did all the work for him. So they divided the wine that he sold, 50-50. They did have to work, or he gets two-thirds, they get one-third, whatever the agreement is. And not only does the halacha say when you make such a haskem, such an agreement, they divide the revach from the wine 50-50, they divide the woody part of the vine, also you can use it as a fuel and a fire. So they divide that as well. And they heard about him that he was cheating his worker. He didn't let his oris take the wood. You don't let the oris take the branches. Amalahu, what do you mean? The oris is stealing everything from me. I catch him on 10%. I catch him red-handedly, 10%, so I make him leave it. He's only supposed to take 50%, not supposed to take 100%. So he takes 100%, and I take away 10% from him. I'm just taking back what I deserve, and he's walking off with another 40% that didn't belong to him. The oris is stealing from me. I'm not stealing from the oris. So he comments to them, Amalahu mikoshavik lemidi minei. He doesn't leave anything for me. He steals everything. And I fight with him and I take back 10%. He's still stealing from me. But still, you shouldn't do it. You're a ganav. If you're tasting the flavor of me, there's a pidgam amami that people say, you steal from the ganav in order to steal back the thing the ganav stole from you, but you get used to the excitement of doing geneva, even though he's stealing back what you're entitled to. So Amalahu, so he told him, okay, if that's what you think, kivil no alai, I accept him by myself, the yihivnele, from now on I'm going to let him take whatever he wants and I won't give him a fight. So the Gemara says, from that time on, everything's straightened out by him. How did it straighten out? Ikad Yarmid, so this is already written down a few centuries later, so what's the end, what's the punchline? So Ikad Yarmid, one version has it, hardachala v'havachamra, that a miracle occurred. This is normal to happen, that wine can convert into vinegar, but vinegar can convert into wine. So it was mamash a miracle. The other version has it wasn't a miracle. If lamayla menateva, there was such a great need for vinegar, the price of vinegar went up, and he got the same amount for vinegar. And when he sold the 400 barrels of vinegar, he would have gotten if he would have sold it as wine. So that's not an ace nigla, that's an ace nister. In economics, all kinds of things happen. So if someone needs vinegar, so they pay a fortune. The price of vinegar went up. And he made the same amount. The vinegar was being sold for the same amount that the wine would have been sold. So what's the moral of the story? You shouldn't be a ganav. And even if the other guy is a bigger ganav than you, you're stealing back from him. You shouldn't steal back from him either. Okay. There's such a Gemara in Bava Kamma also. The Gemara says, Ben Bag Bagoymer, if someone stole from me, I shouldn't sneak into, let's say, my next door neighbor stole something from me. So why should I bop him over the head? Let me go sneak into his house once, but he's away sometime. I'll go sneak into his house and steal back what belongs to me. The Gemara says, no, Ben Bag Bag says, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't sneak in. You should confront him. And bop him, tell him, you stole my whatever, and bop him over the head and take it. Make it clear to him, because you're gonna get used to sneaking in and doing things in a sneaky fashion. Now you're doing it to retrieve your own thing that he stole from you. And next time you may sneak in and steal something that doesn't belong to you. That's what the Minchas Chinuch points out. It sounds from that Gemara that Geneva is an Isa Mida Ruah. It's not something. Gezela is an Isa, not to be mafsed the other person the money, if I do Gezela. But Geneva is the Isa of Midas, not to train yourself in the Mida Meguna of Geneva, of being sneaky, and even if there's no Hepsid moment, I'm trying to sneak in to get back what he stole from me. Then the Gemara quotes Abraisa. Abba Binyamin Omer, he's apparently a Tana. Shnei Dvarim Ha'isim Mitztar Kol Yoma, he was always makbet about two things. The philosopher said, Livnei Mitosi. What do you mean, he should daven in front of his bed? So the Gemara said, what does that mean? Atfel Shnei Livnei Mitosi, my Livnei Mitosi. What does it mean? E Lema. If he should say, Livnei Mitosi, Mamash, he always wanted to daven at home, didn't want to daven in the minyan and shul, he davened at home, and he davened in front of the bed. So where's the Chochmah? Again, the two versions who said it. By the time the Gemara was written down, they forgot already, centuries later, who said it. So someone said, we learn that from the Pasuk in Nisha, if you're going to daven, there are going to be things in between you and the wall, they're going to divert your attention. Just like the Rishonim say, you shouldn't daven in front of a wall that has paintings or pictures on it. So you're going to start staring at the pictures. So that's not right. So here also, if you're going to have different pieces of furniture between you and the wall, so you're going to think of those things. If you have a shtender, that's not considered a piece of furniture. Shtender is for the purpose of putting a sitter on it. So you're going to pay attention to what it says in the sitter. What Taisa says, what does Taisa say here? Let's have an Aron Kodesh there. Or you have tables in the Beis Medrash. Okay, so the tables, that's normal. That belongs there. Ain't the hepsik. That's not going to divert your attention. You're not going to start staring at the tables or the shtenders or the chairs in the Beis Medrash. I will meet the nearest ain't the kablu. But if you have a bed, that's going to divert your attention. You shouldn't daven in such a way it's going to divert your attention. So what did he say? Abba Binyamin says he was always very makbid, he was always very insistent, Shetem Tfilosi Lifnei Mitosi. What do you mean? Tfilosi Lifnei Mitosi cannot mean he wants to daven in front of the bed. That's going to divert his attention. Why says no, what it means is Shaloi Hei Dover, yeah. Lotema Lifnei Mitosi, Aleima Samach Lemitosi. What does that mean? When he woke up in the morning, he would get dressed, and then right away he would go to daven. He wouldn't start checking his checkbook and start reading the New York Times and start preparing for his business before davening. You don't do other activities before you daven. First thing in the morning, you got to daven shacharis. See, here there's a machlokes Rashi and Taisa. What about learning Torah? Is it okay to learn your daf yomi before? So Rashi says, Samach l'mitas, and not to do any malacha, v'shelo l'asek b'Torah. He's not going to learn either. Taisa is not happy with the Rashi. Rashi period here, the Taisa is Ella. Second Taisa is from the end. Rashi period, Shavilah Lomashasar, Sevilah Daitim in Oli. How does Rashi know such a thing? They have a right that is not correct from the Gemara of the Perek Sheni, Daf Yudalam and Beis, that they are my right, will wake up early, and they would learn before. So the Rishonim say, Rashi holds that he's afraid the guys are going to get so involved in learning, they're going to forget about the minyan. They're going to forget. So it depends. So how did the Amor and Daf Yudal, how did he learn before? So if he's learning in, let's say, a person puts on his talisman film, he's going to learn in the Beis HaMedrash. Even if he gets involved in a complicated test, the Chazan is going to start saying Birchus HaShachar. He's going to start with Adon Olam or whatever. So he's not going to forget the Daven. He's learning in the Beis HaMedrash. Maybe Rashi means that you shouldn't learn at home. You shouldn't learn at home before his manshah, before your daven shacharis, because he may get so engaged, he may get so involved in learning, you're going to forget to go to the minyan. But if you're learning in the place where the Beis Medrash is, then even Rashi has to agree that there's no issa. Tosis is not so keen about the whole Rashi. It sounds like Tosis disagrees. Even if you're going to be davening, even if you're going to be learning at home, they think that they never made an issa about learning before davening. Only you shouldn't be oisik in business before. So these were the two things Abba Binyamin used to be makbet about. One was shetei tfilosi samach lemitosi. It doesn't mean lifnei mitosi, literally. It doesn't mean he wanted to daven in front of his bed. That's not a smart thing to do. It's going to divert his attention. But it means shetei tfilosi samach lemitosi. First thing in the morning, he was noisik and other things. Let's say not a lot of, let's say when I walk to the yeshiva, I always pass a mailbox. So what if I want to mail some letters? I'm not going out of my way. On my way, I walk past the post, the mailbox anyway. I don't think that's an issa. If it's on my way anyway, you go out of your way to do something. So that's not right to do. Not to be oisik in something else before you know.
In both cases, you made birchas haTorah, right? I mean, that
Yeah, he said Birchas HaTorah. Otherwise, Rashi also agrees not allowed to learn. Yeah. They said Birchas HaTorah before. First thing, when they woke up, they said Birchas HaTorah. Yeah. So the first thing, he was Makbara Shetei Tvilosi Samach Lemitosi. And the second thing was, he was married, and he would be together with his wife, Al Mitosi Shtei Nesuno, Bein Sofon Lidorim. And the Gemara quotes Psukim, what a wonderful thing it is, the people will be blessed with children. So Rashi and Tosfos learn, it's only going on married people when they're having tashmish with their wives, that the bed should be arranged, sof and dorm. What's wrong with Mizrach Meirav? Why shouldn't it be Mizrach Meirav? So Tosfos explains it. Because the Shechina, the Gemara says in Bava Basra, the Shechina is a Meirav, whatever that means. It's unclear what that means. Shechina is a Mizrach, Shechina is a Meirav. We face Mizrach because the The Gemara has later in Tfilas HaShachar that we learn out from the Psukim from Tfilas Shlomo when Shlomo Melch built the Beis HaMikdash, so he offers a prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that appears both in Sefer Melochim and in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. So in his prayer he doesn't speak about bringing Karbonos on the Beis HaMikdash. He only speaks about Tfilo. He says the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is that whoever has a tzara, when the Jewish nation have a tzara, when an individual has a tzara, so he should come to the Beis HaMikdash and pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, once he says, Yispada Alecha, we should come to the Beis HaMikdash and daven. Once he says, Yispada Alecha, Derech HaBayis HaZeh, he should face the Beis HaMikdash. Then another time he says, Yispada Alecha, Derech HaIr HaZos, we should face Yerushalayim. Then he says, Yispada Alecha, Derech HaRetzom, we should face Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says the four different psukim, it depends where you are. So if you have the ability to, you should go into the Beis HaMikdash and daven there. If you live all the way in America, so you should face Eretz Yisrael. You don't have to try to face exactly Yerushalayim. As long as you're facing Eretz Yisrael is good enough. If you're davening in Eretz Yisrael, so you are in Eretz Yisrael, so then you should face Yerushalayim. And if you're davening in Yerushalayim, then you should face the Beis HaMikdash. If you daven in the Beis HaMikdash, that's the best thing to daven. Ki beise beise tefili kori l'chal ha'am. The Beis HaMikdash is the makom tefilo. The Gemara says, B'yam shechor Beis HaMikdash ninalu sharei tefilo. The tefilos are no longer accepted to the same extent as they used to be accepted. B'zman shechor Beis HaMikdash ha'ikai. Because the Beis HaMikdash is the official, and that's the office for Kabbalas HaTefilos.
Maybe by the learning never problem if you start learning before as man filler, so you might forget and go
in. Forget about the minion. You'll miss the minion.
It's okay to learn Dominion. It's no time to daven yet, so there's no problem as far as that's concerned. But maybe you'll forget it later because you're already in the learning.
Yeah. So that's what they say. Rashi also, you're not allowed to learn before. If you're learning in a different location, you're learning in the shul, so then you're not going to forget. The minion is going to start davening. So then even Rashi agrees. The Gemara is beferish that you're allowed to learn before. So Rashi will say, yeah, he's learning in their location where the minion is going to take place. So it's not shy to forget. Yeah. So the Gemara talks about facing, when we daven, we face Mizrach because we live to the west of Eretz Yisrael. There are parts in Europe, let's say Vilna, when you daven in Vilna, say you face south. You don't face the east. You face out. If you live in Shanghai, so you face west. There's no dinner. You always face Mizrach. You have to face Eretz Yisrael. Whatever direction is Eretz Yisrael, you got to face. Yeah, that's going to be. We'll have to learn the Tosfos on Vav Amud Aleph, the bottom Tosfos, Achuri Beis Haknesses. Tosfos really belongs Shaych Lamed Beis. So we'll have to learn. There's a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. That's Negeir LaHalacha. What direction do you have to face when you're davening? Shmod Esrei. So the Tosfos says, the Gemara says in Perek Tfilas HaShachar, supposed to face Eretz Yisrael. So here, this Gemara is based on a different Gemara in Bava Basra, in the second Perek in Bava Basra, that the Shechina is a Mizrach, Shechina is a Meirav, whatever that means. So you shouldn't have your bed when people are married and they're together with their wives, and they want to have children, so they shouldn't have the bed east-west, they should rather have the bed Sof and Dorm. The problem is that the Zohar says just the opposite. So the bed should be east-west. So they quote in the biographies of the Vilna Gaon, the Rav Chaim Volozhin, that once went to visit the Gra and he asked them about the stira between the Gemara and the Zohar. So the Gemara gave him some kind of a yishuv, explained that the Zohar does not contradict the Gemara. So the only place where they contradict is one place where they're allowed to walk tocht al ramas behind the person who's davening Shmon Esrei. He gave him a yishuv, but then Rabbi Chaim Longin walked out from the Gemara. He forgot what the yishuv was, but he just remembered this stuck in his head. And the Rambam go and said, "There's only the only thing that there's a contradiction between the Gemara and the Zohar is about walking behind the one who's davening Shmon Esrei." So when they have this in the Aliyas Aliyot, whatever the biography of the Gemara, so they have a long footnote, and they quote that Achrayim in 15 different contexts say that they think there is a machlokes between the Zohar and the Gemara on different things. One is Shiloh HaKan, is there a mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan if you're not interested in anything? You don't want the Beitzim, you don't want the Efrachim, you don't want the mother. You just want to mind your own business. Do you still have a chiv to do Shiloh HaKan, or is it only if you're interested? So some Achrayim thought that that's also a steer between the Gemara and the Zohar. So they say, according to the Vilna Gaon, that they're no steerers. You got a BBS of all these 15, 16 sources that the Achrayim think that there is a steer. Anyway, so we follow this, says in Shulchan Aruch, that married people should have the beds north-south as opposed to when the wife is there. North-south as opposed to east-west. There's not a kavod hashchina. Then we had the Tosfos. We saw the Tosfos about Yirei Neinu and Avdalon on the base, the Omer Rav Yochanan. Tosfos said, why did they introduce Yirei Neinu? Because some people will come late to shul, and they're going to have to walk home by themselves. So they delay a little bit. The davening takes another 3 minutes because they have to say Yirei. Baruch Hashem Le'olam, Amen, Amen. All the psukim and Yirei Neinu. It takes another couple of minutes. In case someone came late to shul, he won't say Baruch Hashem. He won't say Yirei Neinu. He'll leave it out, and everyone will finish together with him. So he won't have to walk home by himself. So that's what Tosfos says. This whole Gemara, the top Tosfos on Rav and Aleph, explains that Tosfos belongs over here. That Tosfos belongs on Hay Sof Amud Beis. We mentioned, where did Tosfos get this idea from? That the reciting of Yirei Neinu, Baruch Hashem Le'olam, is in order to stall off in case someone came late, because the shul's v'chutz lo'ir. So if the guy's going to walk back by himself, he may be mugged by a garif, he may be harmed by one of the mazikim. So they got that from the Gemara by Madlikin, the last piece of Gemara in the sugya of Chanukah. The Gemara says that's what motivated the Chachamim Shum Sakana. That's why they introduced the Magen Avos on Leil Shabbos. Not because Arvis is a chayva on Leil Shabbos and you have to have a Chazara Sashatz. That's what others would have said. But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says Shum Sakana, that the shuls by Bechutz La'ir are afraid that someone's going to come late and he's going to go home all by himself, and the mazikim are going to harm him, or the gangsters are going to harm him. So Tosfos thought that that's the same reason why in later generations they instituted, that's what motivated them to institute the Baruch Hashem Le'olam with the Yirei Neinu. Sure. So Tosfos thinks that that's the same shot over here, on the bottom of Hamad Beis. Abba Bin Yamin, I met the same one who said before that, Kol Yama Yisim Itztayra, Al Shnei Dvar Melos, and now he says another thing. If two people go into shul to daven, the shul is b'chutz l'ir, and one guy's going to finish davening quickly and he's going to leave, the other is going to be all alone. He's going to be nervous. Who's going to protect him in Amazikim? So he's going to get all tzemisht in Hishman Esrei. So he won't be able to be mechavein, won't be able to daven with a calm attitude. One of them finished davening before the other, and he didn't wait for the other one, and then he just leaves. So then he will be punished and his prayers will be torn up. His prayers will not be accepted because he's causing the other person to be have discomfort. The other fellow who walked into the shul with him won't be able to daven with a calm mind. And the Gemara interprets the pasuk like Torah Nafsha Biapa Halamancha Teyosev Oretz. Nafsha means Tfilosai. They're going to rip up Torah and Lot Tfilosai Bifanov. Why? Because he thinks that because he's leaving the other fellow alone, the Shechina is going to go with me, and that poor guy is going to be by himself. He's not going to have the Shechina to listen to his prayer. So that's not right. Yeah, that's what Tosfos says. Let's say the top Tosfos says. I'll be by himself. What if the Beis HaKnesses is Bo'ir? Beis HaKnesses in the middle of the city, so the whole thing doesn't apply. So the Ri was a nephew of the Rabbeinatam. The Ri hoi ma'achat filosai, u'marachat shi, the Ri would always be the last one to leave the shul. He didn't, even though the shul was in the middle of the city, was michutzla in the days of Gemara, the shul was michutzla here. Days of the Balei HaTosfot, the shuls were in the middle of the city. So nonetheless, he didn't want to rely on this kula of his uncle, of the Rabbeinatam's kula. If someone would come, let's say he finishes davening and then another person comes and he davens, and I'm going to wait for him. The Gemara only says, Rabbi Binyamin says, if two people go into shul together and each one was relying on the other one, I'm going to feel secure because the other guy's there with me in the shul. But if one guy comes in first and he finishes, then the other guy comes. He's not going to wait for the second one. This was Amidas Chassidus that the Ri had that practice. Tokachar and Bola Beis HaKnesses, he would look in a sefer. Unola Hachmer Aflon. The proper practice should be, you should never leave a person by himself in the shul, even though the shul is in the middle of the city, because the other fellow may feel very uncomfortable. And the Gemara says that one will be blessed if he has this practice. Okay. What else do we know from this Abba Binyamin? So he says, there's so many mazikim in the world. Millions and millions of mazikim. Okay. Gemara says, if you want to see the mazikim, what should you do? Gemara says, don't try to see the mazikim. Not a smart idea. Huh? Yeah. Gemara doesn't recommend you should try to see the mazikim. Not a smart idea. Fine. What else does Abba Binyamin say? Halfway down. Ain't tefillah shalom nishmas al beis haknesses. The shmar l'arina ve'la tefina makom rina sham tei tefillah. The proper thing is you should daven in shul. They say even if you're davening b'yichidus, not only should you daven but tzibur, even if you're davening b'yichidus, unless it'll be the rabbi. Let's say the rabbi woke up late, so he's going to come to shul late. He's going to daven b'yichidus. So it's going to be the balabatim will see that. The rabbi is negligent. So if the rabbi is not so careful about tefillah b'tzibur, so they certainly don't have to be so careful. So then if the rabbi has to daven, he should daven yichidus at home. He shouldn't daven yichidus in the shul. But if it's someone else, more correct is he should always daven. And tefillah shalom mishmasa l'beis haknesses. That's how the Gemara says. Dirish Hashem b'himotso. So the Bavli says b'himotso means that season of the year when you stand a better chance of having your prayers answered. The Gemara says, "Behimotzo," that's a reference to Elo Asar Semei Tshuva. Elo Asar Yom Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippur. And the Yerushalmi says, "Behimotzo," that it goes on the location. You should daven in the Beis HaKnesses. You stand a better chance of having your prayers answered if you daven in the Beis HaKnesses than if you daven Shalom in the Beis HaKnesses. You should daven B'tzibur also. The Gemara says in Saita, in Perek El Anamai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mois B'Tfilos HaRabim. If you come Tfilah B'Tzibur, you stand a better chance of having your prayers accepted than if you dab Mechidus. The Gemara gives a mashal that if I buy one apple and it turns out that it's a rotten apple, so I get my money back. He sold me a merchandise that was faulty, but if I buy a whole bushel of apples and one or two are rotten, so that's to be understood. So if a person comes and he davens b'chidus, so he's relying on his own, he deserves it, his prayers should be answered. Maybe he doesn't deserve so much. But if he's one rotten apple and the whole tzibur is davening together, so the Rebbeinu Shlom has to accept the rotten apple along with the better apple. So you stand a better chance of having your prayers answered if you daven tefillah b'tzibur. So davening tefillah b'tzibur, that's one milah. And davening the Beis HaKnesses is another mile. You should daven Beis HaKnesses. One should daven Beis HaKnesses, even if he's going to daven Yechidus. What does the Gemara say? The top line on Vov Amid Beis. Omar Rovim Bar Avada Omar Rav Yitzchok. Ah, strange Gemara called. Harog Alova Le Beis HaKnesses. He always comes to shul, and one day he davens, one day he doesn't show up. V'lo Bo Yemecha, one day he doesn't come. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashal Boy. Bonsham will ask, how come your uncle didn't show up in shul today? Shedema. Vibachem Yirei Hashem Shemei B'kol Avda Shaholach HaShechim Ve'Nogalo. How come he didn't come to shul? So what will be the outcome of the investigation when the Rebbeinu Shlom checks into it to find out how come Yankel didn't show up. In the Dvar Mitzvah Halach, if he davened the Echidus because he had to go do some Dvar Mitzvah, Rabbi Soloveitchik, he gives the travel to New York every Tuesday morning to give a shiur in the yeshiva. So a lot of times he had to daven b'yechidus. So if he's davening b'yechidus in order to do a dvar mitzvah, he's going to go do pidyon shvuyim, he's going to go travel to yeshiva to learn. Okay? No galo. So then his life will be lit up. It's no problem. But if he went just for his own purposes, so then ain't no galo. Yeah. Interesting. So the Netziv has a tshuva, an interesting comment on this Gemara. How come the Gemara says, "Kol haroga lo v'beis haknesses v'lo bo yamecha, kodesh bochem asher bo"? What if he's not in the habit, he's not in the practice of coming to shul every day? Why is it only roga lo v'beis haknesses? So he says, the Gemara says in Dorim, in a few places, that pale and base, and earlier, daft as well. Gemara says, a minik toiv is minding me tam neder. It's if a person does a minik toiv three times in a row, so it indicates that that's the way he plans to continue. Or if he only does it once, a person does a minik toiv once, and he has in mind at the time that he does it, he's going to always do like that. Let's say a person, he starts learning daf yomi. So he learns one daf yomi, and he likes it, and he makes up his mind, hey, this is a good idea, I'm going to do this every day. So then he's obligated to learn the daf yomi every day. Or if he does it three times in a row, and he wasn't thinking one way or the other, whether he's going to continue to do this or it's just going to be today. But he does it three times in a row when he had an opportunity. So that indicates that that's what he plans to do. So the Gemara says he's obligated to observe the minik toiv mitam neder. The Gemara says it's only midirabbanan. The Gemara says on daf as well, it's only by yachol midirabbanan. It's not by yachol minator. Minator, and that is only if you have levate bisvasayim, nefesh kisishova, levate bisvasayim. If he doesn't take a shvur b'peh, so it's not binding. But midirabbanan, we treat it like a neder ledvar mitzvah. So nidre mitzvah achal balev. The Gemara says in shvuas on daf chavov and beis, the Gemara says, Omar Shmuel is the one who has this chiddush goma. Believe it, tzorch lahotzei b'svasa. The person made up his mind. A neder or a shvua is not binding until he pronounces it with his lips, as it says, "Lachol sheivatei ha'odem b'shvua." Nefesh kisishav levatei b'svasai. That's in Parshas Vayikra. Chumash Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra. You have to have levatei b'svasai. So the Gemara says, but there are two exceptions to the rule. One is a trum is chal b'machshove, because it says v'nechshol lachem trumaschem. That's a pasuk in the end of Parshas Korach. V'nechshav lachem trumaschem. So the pasuk pshat in the pasuk means when the Leviim get Maisa Rishon and they mafresh Maisa and a Maisa and they give the Trumas Maisa to the Kohen, so the Trumas Maisa is considered v'nechshav lachem trumaschem. Trumas Maisa that the Leviim gives to the Kohen is considered the exact same status as Truma Gedolah. We mentioned the Mishnah has in Me'ilah that there are four things that are all Shem Echad, Bikurim, and Chala, and Truma, and Trumas Maisa. So if a non-Koyan eats one quarter of a Kazayis of Chala, one quarter of Kazayis of Bikurim, one quarter of Kazayis of Truma, and one quarter of Kazayis of Maisa, Mina Maisa, so the Mishnah says that he's Loike. If a person eats a half a Kazayis of Chazar and a half a Kazayis of Bas B'cholov, that's a machlokes hatanaim. We paskin that you're not loike. You're only loike if it's shem echad. If it's shem echad. So the Gemara says all these four are all shem echad. Shuma and bikurim and chala. Ma'isim and ma'is is all shem echad. So that's the pasuk shat in the pasuk. When afshal lachem trumas chem, you Leviim, when you will give the trumas ma'iser, it'll be considered kadog meragar mecham leim and ayakim. Has the same status as the truma gedola that the farmer gives. Before he gave you the ma'iser rishon, he had to be mafish. Truma Gedayla, so this is Mamash Shem Echad with the Truma Gedayla. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation on the word V'nechshav, that it, not that it is considered as if. It's considered has the same status as Shem Echad with Truma Gedayla. Nechshav means that Truma Ditalas Memachshava. If a farmer has, let's say, 100 bushels of grain and he's supposed to designate two as Truma Gedayla, so even if he never picks them up and he never says B'peh, Arezu Truma Hashem Alakol, he has in mind, I want these two bushels to become Truma Gedayla. So the din is that truma nitelas b'machshava. The truma is chal b'machshava. Or let's say a woman is marfish chala. Chala, same thing as truma. So a lot of the women have the practice. They say the bracha shekoshem chasana ala frash as chala. And then they don't say Harei Zachala. They just take the Chala and they put it on the side and they burn it. So they never said Harei Zachala. So the answer is Chala is the same as Truma. It's Chal B'machshava. Rabbi Kiveger on Yerudeya quotes from the Shiltas that it's not proper, that the proper practice should be that the women should say Harei Zachala L'Hashem, Harei Zachala L'Hashem Alakom. So the Netziv has a commentary on the Shiltas. He defends the minig of the women, why the women only say a bracha and they don't say Harei Zachala L'Hashem Alakom. He gives all explanation why maybe it's better. But Rebbe Kiveger assumes, based on the Shiltas, that even a chutz l'aretz, when everybody's tameh and it's going to be chala tameh, it's still more correct is to be koreshem with the chala. It shouldn't just be mafresh b'machshav. So the Gemara says there are two exceptions to the rule. In Yoni HaFlor, the Rambam wrote 14 svarim. Mada, Haba, Ismanim, what else? Noshin, Kedusha, Nezikin, Kinyan, all the Yud-Dalad, the Yad HaChazaka, the 14 svarim. The one Sefer is Sefer HaFlo'a. Sefer HaFlo'a has all the dinim of Hilchos Shvuos and Neziris and Charamin and Erchen and Hekdeshes and Nedorim. That's called HaFlo'a. Things that are Chala Yidei Amira. So the Gemara says you really need Amira for all of these in Yoni HaFlo'a except for two. There are two exceptions. Well, one is Truman Yitalis Marshova. That's the Pasuk V'nech Sholachem Shumascha and the end of Parshas Korach. And the other exception to the rule is Karbonis. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Dirayam and called Nandiv Lev Oilus Heviu, that those who had been Menadev Belev to bring a Karbon Oilus to the Beis HaMikdash, in the beginning of the Baisheni, I think it goes, when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, whoever had pledged to give, so they brought the Karbonis to the Beis HaMikdash. So you see that pledging to bring a Karbon to the Beis HaMikdash is Chal B'machshav. So the Rosh, in the first Perek in Tainis, quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, that if somebody is mekabel tainis b'mincha, that is going to fast tomorrow, he's supposed to be mekabel tainis b'mincha the day before the Yoy Matonis. So the Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Tam, even if it's only mekabel b'leiv, he never said the tefillah areini. He never said in the end of the Shmona Esrei mincha areini b'tainis l'mocha. He just had in mind. So the Rabbeinu Tam holds that it's chal b'machshava. Why is it chal b'machshava? So there are three different biurim in the Rabbeinu Tam. So the simplest biur is the Rabbeinu Tam holds that all nidrei mitzvah. Achal b'machshava, that you don't say dafke kol nediv leiv oilus aviu, one who is menadiv to bring a korban oila, la dafke korban oila, korban shlamim mosan, la dafke korban is any nidrei mitzvah. Achal b'machshava. So this is what the Gemara says in the Dorim daf tezvav and the daf peyam and beis also. That this is bal yachal mid rabbanan. There's no bal yachal deraisa. If a person has a minik toiv, it's only bal yachal mid rabbanan. On the level of deraisa, you have to say hareni no de hareni nishba. You have to say something. Just because you did it three times in a row indicates that that's what you plan to do. You did it once and you plan to do. But strictly speaking, it's not chal b'machshava. Nidrei mitzvah chal b'machshava means he has a mind he's going to fast. Okay, that's chal b'machshava. Maybe that's Minatorim. I don't know. He has a mind he's going to bring a carbon. Called in Div Leivayla Seviu. But if he has a mind, he's going to do a Midas Chasidus like over here. He's going to daven Tvila B'tzibo. He always davens B'beis HaKnesses. So then the Gemara says, Kol HaRoga Lova L'beis HaKnesses. If his practice has been quite a few times, he always comes to Shul. So then it becomes binding B'tam Neder Midirabonim. Then it's Bal Yacha Midirabonim. It is Nareel. If he's not in the practice of davening b'tzibur, so the Gemara sounds like the Baruch Shalom is not mashalolam. Baruch Shalom is not. He didn't do the midas chasidus. We recommend it's a smart idea. It's a better idea to daven always b'beis haknesses and to daven tefillah b'tzibur. But even if you don't, you're not going to be punished because of that. But if he's rogel over the b'beis haknesses, that's how the Netziv interprets in the tshuva in the Meshuv Domer. If his practice is that he always does that, then it becomes binding mitam neder midirabana. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashal boy. Then the Baruch Hu will have to investigate how come he violated his minik toif. So if he violated, what do you do? Then the Gemara continues. What do you do if there's a conflict between a minik toif and a real din? So the real din beats out the minik toif. So that's what the Netziv learns in the Gemara. Im ledvar mitzvah halach, if it turns out that he didn't go to minyan this day, he didn't daven in shul, he didn't go to min because he had to go to dvar mitzvah. So then he won't be punished because there's a conflict between a real dvar mitzvah and a minik tov. And a minik tov is only binding in the rabbanim mitam neder. But if he went l'dvar hoshus, so that's not right. So the midik toiv is binding midirabbanan. That's a bal yachal midirabbanan. There's such an interesting case of Mishnah on the Rambam and Hilchas Korban Pesach. The Netziv interprets this Gemara means like that. There's such an interesting case of Mishnah. The Rambam writes, when you bring the Korban Pesach, so you're supposed to broil the whole Korban Pesach intact. Rosh al krov al kirba. And then after you broil it, then you slice it into pieces. You give everybody a lamb chop afterward. You don't slice it into lamb chops before you broil it. You're supposed to broil it all together. So the Rambam says, but you broil it all together, so you can't boil the chalev. The chalev you have to cut out and burn on the mizbeach separately. And then he said, the chutei hadam, the big arteries, the big blood vessels, you have to cut out, because you're going to broil it with the dam in the chutei hadam. So you're going to broil it with the dam, it's going to make a treif. So the Rambam says you have to remove the chalev and burn the chalev on the mizbech makter. Then you have to cut out chutei adam. You don't broil meat with the chutei adam in it. We broil meat just with the capillaries, with the blood. Usually you have to salt meat, and if you're broiling it, then the meaning is you do malicha muwetas. You don't really need so much salting. But that's because the blood is in the capillaries. You don't have major arteries. But if you have a big artery, a big fat artery with a lot of blood, a big blood vessel, then you have to cut out the chutei adam. You don't broil it the way it is. So that's what the Rambam writes. Then after you finish broiling the korban pesach, then you cut out the gid anosh, and you don't need the gid anosh. So the rabbi is upset on the Rambam, so he writes very sharp. Sometimes he writes very sharp. He says, if this man, it means the Rambam, if this man would bring his korban pesach to the Beis HaMikdash, I would throw it on the floor and tell him that he's not allowed to eat it because he broiled the korban pesach with the gid anosh in it. So the whole thing became treif. The whole korban pesach became treif. This is utterly ridiculous. Just like you have to cut out the chutei dam, so you have to cut out the gid anosh. That's what the Ravid is masik on the Rambam, Hilchos korban pesach. So the Kes Mishnah comes to defend the Rambam. Why is he only concerned about cutting out the chutei dam, the big fat arteries? How come he's not concerned about cutting out the gid anosh? So he says, well, it's a machlekes hatanoim, and we paskin ein begidin benoisin tam. That if you broiled Yerach and his Bashal Begidoi, the Mishnah has in Perigid Anoshim. That's one of the program in the end of Chulin. Yerach means the side of the animal. You cook the whole Yerach of the animal with the Gid Anoshim, so we paskin in the Gid Anoshim Tam. The Gid Anoshim, the Ezeitzbi Alma, doesn't succeed in giving Tam, and Tam Kika doesn't apply. So it doesn't make treif the rest of the Gid Anoshim. Doesn't make treif the rest of the animal. So the Rambam holds you have to cut out the Chutei. You have to cut out the chalev to burn it on the mizbech. You have to cut out the chutei dam. You shouldn't make treif the rest of the korban pesach. But since the gid anosh will not make treif the rest of the korban pesach, even if you broil it with it, so more correct is you should fulfill the mitzvah of rosh al krov al kirba. You broil the whole korban pesach intact. Then you cut out the gid anosh later because it won't make anything treif. Fine. So he defends the Rambam from the Rabbi Tassov. But then he has the kasha. But that's only the gid anosh. What about the shuman hagid? On top of the gid anosh, there's fat. And the shuman agid is nice and tam. The gid anosh itself, the Gemara calls eitz b'almahu. It doesn't have any taste at all. Doesn't have any flavor. Ain't begidin b'nais and tam. The gid tam kiyika doesn't apply on the gid anosh. But on the shuman agid, it should apply. So that's two opinions in Tosfos, in Perikid anosh. So one opinion in Tosfos is that since shuman agid is not a nisa derais, it's only the rabbanon. So it only made the gzera otu gid anosh. So since Gid Anosha doesn't ask a bitam, because they didn't begin with an tam, so they never extended, they never applied the tam kiyika to the shuman agir either. But the Kes Mishnah says the Rambam doesn't hold like that. The Rambam holds like the other opinion of Tosfos, and the Shulchan Aruch Paschim like the other opinion of Tosfos, that shuman agir does ask a binasinas tam. Even though the Gid Anosha doesn't ask a, shuman agir does ask a binasinas tam. So how does the Rambam allow you to broil the Korban Pesach with the Shuman Agid? It's going to make the whole Korban Pesach treif. So the Kesem Mishnah answers, because not eating the Shuman Agid is not even an Issa Dirabbanan. He says, the Lashon HaGemara is the Mikra Adin Shuman Agid is Mutter. V'Yisrael Kedoshim Noagu Bo Issa. So he says, from the Lashon HaGemara, he said that it's only a minig. So since the prohibition against eating the Shuman Agid is only a minig, so whenever the minig comes up in conflict with the real din, you have to observe the din and ignore the minig. So here, the Shuman Agid, it's a meaning that you don't eat Shuman Agid, but it's in conflict with the real din. The real din is Rosh Al Karov Al Kirbuk. It's supposed to brought the whole Korban Pesach intact as one unit. So because of the meaning that you don't eat Shuman Agid, so therefore you're going to violate a real din deraisa, the dam. You don't broil the Korban Pesach with the big chutei adam. You broil it with the capillaries, okay? So all the dam will go out, but you can't broil it with the chutei adam, the big arteries, because that's going to make a treif with an isa dam. Dam shebishla we paskan is only an isa derabanan. It's not an isa deraisa. Once you cook the dam, it's only derabanan. But that's a real isa derabanan. So you have a conflict between a real din and another din. Rosh Al Korban, okay, we're supposed to broil the whole Korban Pesach intact. We brought the whole thing intact, so you'll make a treif because of the dam. The dam will answer everything. So you have no choice. You have to cut out the chutei adam. Even though dam shebishla is only the rabbanon. But he says, Shuman Agid, that's not even a din the rabbanon. He says, the Lashon HaGemara saw Kadoshim Nogobo Iser. He says, it's only a minig. So whenever the minig comes up in conflict with the real din, you have to observe the real din. So that's what the Kesem Mishnah says, that the minig that we have not to eat Shuman Agid only applies 353 days of the year. One day of the year, the 354 day of the year. On Leil Pesach, everybody violated the minig, not the Shuman Agid, because you have to broil the Korban Pesach with the Shuman Agid, Rosh Al Krov Al Kirpah, and you can't have a minig against the real din. The din requires you got to broil the whole Korban Pesach together. So that's what the Nitziv interprets in our Gemara. It says, Mishe Rog Alova LeBeis HaKnesses. That's on this top line on Hayim and Vav HaMeveis. If a person is in the practice of always coming to Daven and Shul, Tefillah B'Tzibur, and Tefillah B'Veis HaKnesses, is a minik daiv. It's not a real chiv. It's a minik daiv. And one day he doesn't show up, so he's in violation of the minik daiv. So minik daiv is only binding the Rabbanon mitam neder. So the Gemara says, if the reason why he violated the minhag is because he had to take care of a more pressing mitzvah, so then okay, then he has a right to violate the minhag. But if he went to Dvar Shus, then he has no right to violate. So that's what the Nitziv interprets in this Gemara, that it's saying the same as the Kes Mishnah interpreted in the Rambam, Nilchus Karban Pesach. Sometimes people have such a situation. Let's say you have a minhag that you don't take a haircut during Sfira. So some people have the minhag that they don't shave during Sfira either. Okay, so you observe Havelis, you don't shave. But then it comes Shabbos, he looks like a slob. So Shabbos, you're allowed to look like that. So if a person is really an Havelis and the din says he's not allowed to take a haircut, not allowed to shave till after Shloshim. After Shloshim, he garba chaver is mutter. Okay, so you got no choice. During Shloshim, it's a real din, the rabbanon, not allowed to shave. But if you just have a minhag, Sfira, is only a minig, or the 3 weeks is only a minig, it's not a real din, and then the minig comes up in conflict with the real din of Kvayt Shabbos. So the Pashta says that the Kvayt Shabbos should take precedence over the minig.
What if that was the minig? It wasn't attacking in such a way that it's not a disgrace to Shabbos, because everybody does this for 100%.
The question is, was it always like that? Years ago, most people didn't shave.
David already talks about Gara in 2 weeks. They still can't count the minute.
That's a question. Was it always like that? Pashna said that it was not. Years ago, when the people didn't shave, so they didn't look so bad. But today, if a person shaves every day, they're not going to shave for a whole week or two. That could be its mamisha violation of Kvot Shabbos. That's a question. But the source of the issue is this Gemara, the way that Nitziv reads the Gemara on the top of Vavam and Beis. The way the Kes Mishnah read the Rambam in Hilchos Korban Pesach. Whenever you have a conflict between a real din and a minig, then the real din has to beat out the minig. Was in Mar Havaita. Menasha Kodesh Baruch Hu Matzah BeBeis HaKnesses Sham Elokim Nitzah Ba'Adas Kel. When you have 10 people there, then the Shechina will be there. Menasha Kodesh Baruch Hu Matzah BeBeis HaKnesses Sham Elokim Nitzah Ba'Adas Kel. The Shechina has to come to help them that they shouldn't make a mistake. Rambam Chumash writes, Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim quotes from the Tanoim, from the Mechilta, that Parshas Yisro ends off with the Din of Mizbach Adom and Tasali. Parshas Mishpatim begins with the Din of Bezn. You have that Bezn HaGadol should be Samach LeMizbeach. The Bezn HaGadol has to meet in the Lishkas HaGozes. They can't meet in the Azara. They meet in the Azara, they won't be able to sit. And Yeshiva Bazar, Malchim Bez Dovin Levat. So the room, the Lishkas HaGozes, that room where they used to meet, was Chetzi Bakodesh, Chetzi Bachol. So they used to sit, half of it had Kedushas Azara. The Azara had, it was a rectangular shape that had Kedushas Azara. And the Lishkas HaGozes was on the border. So half of the Lishkas HaGozes was in the Azara, and half was out of the Azara. The Bez Nagol used to sit in that part of the Lishkas HaGozes that only had Kedushas Harabais. So they were allowed to sit. So the Ramban says, what was the significance of having Sanhedrin Samach LeMizbech? They should have Hashuas HaShechina, that they shouldn't make a mistake, because the Piske Dinim of the Bez Nagol are going to be binding on all of Klal Yisrael. So if they're going to make a mistake, it's going to be all over the world. Everyone's going to follow this mistake. So that's why we wanted the Bez Nagol should meet in the Lishkas, as close as possible to the Azara, to the Mizbeach, that they should have a Siyat Rishmaya, that they shouldn't make a mistake. So the same is true regarding a Bezn of Shlosha. If you have Shlosha, Shiyoshva Bidin. So the Pasuk promises, Elokim Nitzah Badas Kech. The Shechina will be there to help them that they shouldn't make a mistake in Pesach. That's why the Piske Dinam are binding. We assume that the Bezn had a Siyat Rishmaya not to make a mistake. And even if you ask a Chocham, Shaila and Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Kashrus, we have the pasuk. The Gemara in the beginning of Saita quotes that pasuk. As the pasuk say, that the HaKadosh Baruch will give his divine assistance to the Talmid HaChamim, that they shouldn't make a mistake. Soyd Hashem Direyov. The Gemara quotes the pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch will reveal the secrets of the Torah. We assume that Talmid HaChamim will get a Siyai to the Shmaya, that they should pass them properly. They shouldn't make a mistake. That's only if they have Yerushalayim. If it doesn't have Yerushalayim, so this promise was never made. Sometimes you have Talmid Chacham do make a mistake. So it's not always. There is on the books, there is an institution of Parhal and Dovah Shel Tzibur. So it's possible to visualize, I don't know if it ever happens, it's possible to visualize that all the 71 members of the Bez Nagadol made a mistake. And they gave a psak that was keneged hadin. They said, then if the Reb HaTzibur violated an Issur Koras because of their mistaken psak, then the Bez Nagadol mechayev to bring a parhal davar shel tzibur. I don't know if it ever happened. But look, human beings are human. They can make mistakes. But the Ribbono Shel Olam says we should always rely on the Chacham. If he seems to be a Yirei Shamayim, we should assume that he was given a divine assistance, a Siyata Rishmaya, and he didn't make a mistake. They tell the story about the Nodi Behuda, that when he became the rabbi in Prague, he was first the rabbi in a little village. Together, the Baal Shem Tov, who was a relative of his, said they both lived in the same village. And then the Nodi Behuda became the rabbi in the big city. So soon after he was appointed rabbi, they had a shaila in the slaughterhouse on an animal, a shaila of treifas. So they brought the shaila to the Nodi Behuda, and he looked at it, and he started mishing the pages of Yeridaya back and forth, and he didn't find anything. And then he slammed the Yeridaya shut, and he said, "They made up this shaila. It's not. It didn't happen by itself. They made a hole in the organ after the animal was dead already. Usually you can tell because when a hole is developed while the animal is alive, so it's going to be Nitzar Hadam over there. It's going to be black and blue. It's going to be bleeding. When you cut up the animal after it's dead, so it's not going to be Nitzar Hadam. But they did it soon after the animal was, right after the Shechita, so they succeeded in making a black and blue mark over there. So he screamed at a few people came at the Shaila. He screamed at one of them, and he said, "You made up the Shaila. It's not a real Shaila." So they all looked at him. What is he screaming at? The guy kept on screaming. As the guy admitted that it was true. So how did he figure this out, that the whole thing was a fake? So what happened was, the guy who made up the Shaila knew Yeridaya, And he knew that this case is not discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. They discuss a hole in the lungs and a hole in the kishkas and a hole in the pupik, whatever. Every organ is discussed. So they made a hole in an organ where the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch don't say anything. So it doesn't say anything, so the din is a discussion. There's nothing to discuss. It's not a trefa, it's a discussion. But the Nadi Biyuda always used to feel a sense of confidence. He used to give a psak, he felt as if he had a siyata rishmai every time he passed on the shayla, that he's passing right. And over here he felt very uneasy, and there was nothing to feel uneasy about. It's an open and shut case. It's not discussed in Shulchan Aruch as kosher. So he was mishing the pages. He knew he's not going to find anything. He knew that in Yeridea the shayla doesn't appear. He was mishing the pages, trying to figure out why did someone, is not given a siyata rishmai, because it's not really relevant. They only make that miracle to give siyata rishmai if it's necessary. So he's trying to figure out why isn't it necessary over here? They have a shayla. So he knew that when he was chosen as their rabbi, there was a big machloikas. Usually in Europe, when you used to appoint the rabbi, there was always machloikas. So the majority of the people in the community wanted him, and there was some other fellow who wanted his cousin to become their rabbi. And he was one of the people who came with the shayla. So he figured he probably invented the shayla. He probably he punctured the hole after the animal was dead already. So he slammed shut the yerida and he screamed at him. He made up the whole shayla. He made the hole after the animal was dead already. So they admitted that it was true. He felt this, he had this sensation. Every time he passed on the shayla, he felt that he had a divine assistance to paskin properly, and they only give the divine assistance when it's relevant. Anyway, so that's what the Gemara says. Avakim nitzah ba'daskel, that the Shechina will help out the dayanim in a din Torah. The imamim are certainly in a din Torah, din nefoshes, that they shouldn't make a mistake. That's why a psak is binding, because we assume that's Torah Hashem li'rev. Okay, we'll stop here in the middle of Vav Amud Aleph.
Just like by Magi and Avos, if you don't have a Magi, you just have to go a place, you leave it out.
Yeah.
You can say the same thing by Baruch Hashem.